Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So let's talk about a project that incorporates a number of big themes: science, feminism, social activism, fiber arts, and the Great Barrier Reef. Of course, you must know that I am talking about the hyperbolic crochet coral reef currently on display at the World Financial Center in Lower Manhattan. Joining me now to talk about this woolly homage to Earth's endangered coral reefs is Margaret Wertheim, a science writer who's also the co-founder of the Crochet Coral Reef Project, and Joya Angram, founder of the Harlem Knitting Circle and one of the local contributors to the reef, and Barbara Hillary Van Elsen, founder of the New York City Crochet Guild, who coordinated the local contributions to the reef from all over our area. So Margaret and Joya and Barbara, welcome to WNYC.
Hello. Thank you.
It's a great thing that you've got. And listeners, if you want to get a visual of what we're talking about, you can see pictures of it on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see Margaret, say the name of the...
The Hyperbolic Crochet Coral Reef.
Why hyperbolic?
Because hyperbolic geometry is a kind of structure that's realized in many marine reef organisms. Every time you see that sort of crenellated structure that's in a lot of sponges and corals, and also in the frills of nudibranchs and sea slugs and in a lot of kelps, that's a kind of geometry called hyperbolic.
So it's not the same kind of hyperbole that we usually hear on this show.
No. Well, it's an interesting reason why it was named hyperbolic space, but from a mathematical point of view, hyperbolic geometry can be understood as the geometric opposite of a sphere. And this was a kind of geometry the mathematicians discovered only in the 19th century, but for a long time believed they couldn't make models of it. And in 1997, a mathematician at Cornell, Dr. Dana Taimina, discovered that you could make models of this space using crochet. And so that's why we have a hyperbolic crochet coral reef.
And listeners, if you have any questions about the hyperbolic crochet coral reef, or maybe you actually participated in its creation, did you knit an anemone and want to share your experience or something, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692, or leave a comment on our webpage when you go and see the picture. Joya, why crochet a coral reef?
Why crochet a coral reef? Some of my knitters had gotten involved because they were also members of the New York
City Crochet Guild.
And that's how they were working on it. I didn't know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
And I asked them what they were doing. I'm a New York City teacher also, and we tend to do a lot of Green Thumb projects. So I thought that was fantastic. That was a fantastic way for the Harlem Knitting Circle to make people aware of what's going on in the environment and use their fabric art skills.
What do you teach?
Elementary ed, my babies.
All right. And what about these Green Thumb projects? What does that mean?
Oh, in the New York City Ed Department, when you do a Green Thumb project, the children are usually doing a project centered around the environment.
Margaret, the Crochet Guild, what is that?
New York City Crochet Guild is a large group of people. We started in 2001. In March was our first meeting. We had 20 people. And now we have well over 150.
Do crocheters need a guild? Isn't that something you generally do by yourself?
You can, but it's really good to have the input of other people to be able to say to someone, you know, the shorthand, oh, if you just single crochet here and you double crochet there and then you decrease, you know, they know exactly what you mean. They can picture it in their minds. And if you say that to your son or your husband or even your sister who doesn't crochet, they just look at you, you know. So it's really important to have the company of other fiber arts people. And as Andrea said, we have many members in common. Many of our members do a lot more than just crochet.
So, Margaret, did you try hard to accurately represent what's actually in the Great Barrier Reef? I mean, how faithful is this crochet project to the colors or diversity of marine life? Did you say, hey, there's too much kelp, we need brain coral, or what?
Well, my sister, Christine, who started this project with me, likes to make the comment that it's not a documentary. That said, however, there are sections of the reef that do really, that have been inspired by looking at pictures of actual reefs and saying, we'd like to do pillar coral, or we'd like to do carnation coral, or we'd like to do something that looks like a star anemone. So there are plenty of forms in this reef that have specifically been constructed around mimicking actual creatures. But that said, there are plenty of organisms, we call them crochet organisms, that have, as it were, they're not so representational. The whole thing is meant to be, as it were, an artistic representation of a coral reef, and one feels very strongly when one looks at that it is a reef, but it definitely has a lot of interpretation. And we should say here that there's actually two exhibitions that have quite a distinct look. There's the one down at the World Financial Centre that you mentioned earlier. There's an ancillary exhibition, a parallel exhibition at the Broadway window space at NYU on the corner of Broadway and 10th Street opposite Grace Church, and you see there a very, very different looking group of reefs, and both exhibitions have the look of being like giant aquariums, and what you see in each installation is really very, very different looking incarnations of reefs. And it's true of reefs all over the world that in different parts of the world they actually have quite a distinct characteristic. So that's another thing that we're trying to mimic here, is the sheer diversity of the marine world.
So there are a few components. The toxic reef on display through May 18th, is that correct?
Yes, and that's one of the ones that's down at the World Financial Center.
The New York reef and the Chicago reef. Should I be afraid of the toxic reef?
Well, the toxic reef was the part of the project that came to Christine and I the latest. And what it is, it's basically a reef that's crocheted from yarn and plastic garbage. And it's meant to be a crochet invocation of this enormous island of floating plastic that's accumulating in the North Pacific Ocean, just northeast of Hawaii. This huge mound of trash is called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and it's one of the greatest ecological crises on Earth. So at the same time that we have the disappearing wonder of actual reefs, we've got this sort of satanic plastic twin filling the void, and we wanted to make a crochet invocation to that too. So should you be scared of it? Yes, it's going to take over marine life. It's strangling marine life. We should all be deeply worried about it, and it should inspire us all to cut down on our personal use of plastic, which is one of the things we're trying to bring attention to here.
Crocheters and anyone else, call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, as we talk with Margaret Wertheim, science writer who is the co-founder of the Crochet Coral Reef Project, now at the World Financial Center, called the Hyperbolic Crochet Coral Reef. And two of the knitters, Barbara Hillary Von Elsen, founder of the New York City Crochet Guild, who coordinated the local contributions to the reef, and Margaret Anjoya, who is the director of the Harlab Knitting Circle. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Would the three of you put on your headphones, because we're going to talk to Kathleen in Southampton. Is that Southampton, New York, or Southampton, Pennsylvania?
Southampton, Pennsylvania.
And you were at the opening?
Yes, I am a contributor, and I was at the opening. And I know Margaret and Anjoya. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. And first, I want to say that the concept of the coral, creating the coral reef, has not only brought crochets together in the United States, but it's the scope of it is so worldwide that as big as the reef is, it's kind of like the coral reef grows. It's grown and brought people together all over the world. And also, why I was so inspired to create something for it was that it brought together art and science together, making the hyperbolic crochet piece.
What do you usually crochet, Kathleen?
Well, I crochet in plastic vinyl yarn, the jelly yarn.
Uh-huh.
And I like to work in that material.
I mean, when you're not making coral reefs,
I do designs for accessories, purses and handbags, and you know, write patterns for people to create my designs.
Thanks a lot for calling us, and thanks for contributing to the project. By the way, Andrea, I think I mashed up your name and Margaret's there a minute ago, so everybody knows Anjoya is Anjoya Angrum.
Thank you.
Barbara, was this a hard sell for the New York City Crochet Guild?
No.
Did you have some members saying, you know, like, why aren't we crocheting something closer to home, like the Hudson River?
That particular question never came up. The one I would think would come up would be, why aren't we making, you know, Afghans for charity? And the answer would be, with 150 members, some can make the Afghans for charity and some can do the coral reef. And in fact, I found it really fascinating to see the buildup. I mean, there were some people that were on board immediately giving me bags full of stuff and inventive Dr. Seussian creations. They were amazing. And the guild would give me 15 or 20 minutes at each meeting. We meet once a month, where I would showcase things. I would say, here's the basic pattern. Look what this person did with it. Look where they took it. And so people would slowly see, well, it can be very easy if I want to just follow the basic pattern. That's okay. There are no mistakes. That's okay. And if I want to go on wild flights of fancy, that's okay, too. And so as people saw more possibilities, they would, you know, more people would come on board and become enthused. Mm. It really, it was fascinating. Fascinating to watch it spread.
And what about at the Harlem Knitting Circle, Androya? This, it sounds like this bubbled up from your grassroots members to you as the founder.
It did. My crocheters, like I said, I only had a couple of crocheters who were part of the Crochet Guild, but when they started, it was fantastic. We only had about four. And like just like you, it was I asked everybody who wanted to get on, because I have a cross of crocheters and knitters. And my crocheters, some of them got on board, and as you said, the free form of it, they just became so excited knowing that, oh, they had the base of the original pattern. Right, they had the basic pattern, but when they realized that there were no mistakes and everybody got so creative, everybody jumped on board. And then my knitters were like, well, wait a minute, where's the pattern? And they had me calling California for a knitting pattern. We want to go on board. And I couldn't get a pattern, and finally somebody said, wait a minute, I know how to do that knitting. And when the knitters started, they got on board. So it's just been wonderful.
Margaret, that must make you feel good, that kind of enthusiasm.
Well, this project was conceived from the beginning to be a collective communal project. And as Kathleen said earlier, there are now hundreds and hundreds of women involved in this, not only across the US, but all over the world. And one of the things that's been important to Christine and I about this project that I think Barbara touched on before is that it is a way for hundreds of women to contribute to a project that is being shown in some major art galleries, and to have this enormous outpouring of creative feminine energy collectively produce something that's much more than any individual could have produced on their own. It's the group work and the overallness that is so astounding. The whole really is more than the sum of its parts. And I think there is also the other issue that Barbara touched upon, that this is a rare confluence of both art, science, mathematics, and ecology. And indeed, at NYU on April the 20th, there's going to be a whole seminar on the various aspects of the project, everything from coral reef biology to the intersection of art and science and mathematics. That'll be at the New York Institute of the Humanities on April the 20th for people who are interested in hearing more about the multifaceted nature of this.
Men can knit and crochet too, you know.
Oh, yeah. We've had a couple of male contributors.
As a matter of yes, I was just going to say,
Barbara.
Joseph and Jose, they were at the exhibit. Yes, they're from the Knitting Circle, and they... You know what? They're so drawn. As you said, women, we're producers. We produce. And the men now, they've just come on board. They were there Saturday at the exhibit.
And look at Rosie Greer, the football player who wrote Rosie Greer's Needlepoint for Men.
That's right.
Of course, his name was Rosie. But we have a shout-out for you from our webpage. Somebody wrote, having been reared by people who went through the Depression and war rationing, I hate wasting yarn. I see participating in this project as a great way to use crafting energy between project and supporting the maintenance and recovery of the coral reef. So that's a nice comment that somebody posted. How environmental is the yarn that's used for this, Margaret? Is it homespun from grass-fed sheep? Is it chemical-free? What?
We have thought about that issue. We have everything in the reef, everything from hand-spun. We have a contributor in Australia who has her own sheep, and her wool is hand-shorn, hand-spun, hand-dyed, and hand-crocheted. But then we also do have a great many synthetic yarns, what they call novelty yarns, bought from, you know, industrial suppliers like Michaels. But we also... The biggest part of the project that is now becoming important to us from an ecological point of view is actually using plastic, our own plastic. So the toxic reef the main yarn used in that is basically taking your own plastic shopping bags, cutting them up, tying it into yarn, and then crocheting that plastic yarn. And we're trying to focus as much as possible now with the Toxic Reef on actually getting people to take their own plastic trash, cut it into yarn, and make that into a hyperbolic form. And there's nothing like having to recycle your own plastic trash to make you think about how much of it you're using. It's a really tedious thing to do, but it also does produce these amazing structures and forms.
We just have about a minute left. Andrea, what happens in a knitting circle? Do women actually get together, and Jose and the other guy you mentioned,
yes,
and
we do.
Actually form a circle?
No, it's not an actual circle. As a matter of fact, it's just too many of us now. We're a group of 40 plus, so there's too many of us to form. We could form a big circle. But we get together, we knit. Sometimes we have events. Like last week, you missed our high tea and lace. And we had a phenomenal Lisa Dallin, who was teaching everybody how the basics of knitting lace. So we have different events at our knitting circle. And sometimes we just have open knit and crochet.
So Andrea Engram, founder of the Harlem Knitting Circle, one of the local contributors to the Reef, Barbara Hillary Van Elsen, founder of the New York City Crochet Guild, who coordinated the local contributions from around the area, and Margaret Wertheim, co-founder of the Hyperbolic Crochet Coral Reef, currently on display at the World Financial Center in Lower Manhattan. Thank you all very, very much. Margaret, just tell our listeners quickly if they can still contribute to this.
Yes, you can definitely still keep contributing. And indeed, we want the New York Reef to grow and more people to be a part of it.
How do they contact you?
The best way to contact is through the New York Institute for the Humanities, there, and also through the New York Crochet Guild.
And, again,
there's plenty of information up on the websites.
And we have pictures of this coral reef made from the work of crocheters on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to see it. Thank you all for doing this and for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.